Welcome to The Clopen Effect, a retail podcast. Thanks for hanging out with us today. I'm your host, Meredith.
And I'm your host, Cass.
Let's have some fun. Hey, everybody.
Hi.
We have guests again this week.
Yay.
We are so spoiled.
I know.
So we have 153 episodes, and I would say
100 of them.
And I would say 151 of them we have guests on. We are very fortunate.
Not that many.
You know, because when I do all the research and stuff online, they say, oh, you have to get guests. We have no problem getting guests.
Yeah.
I just walk right up to people and say, I really like your barbecue. You want to come on our podcast? And Dan said yes. Hi, Dan.
Hello.
Hi, Aaron.
Hi.
Yay.
Yeah, we're happy to be here.
It was a good barbecue.
I paid them.
Good. You
well, you did not pay me to eat. That's for
no,
sure.
No, definitely
it was delicious.
It was so good.
Thank you so much.
So we had to check it out. You were at Kishwaukee Brewing. We are big supporters. They're also supporting our awards show, too.
Yes.
So that was a lot of fun.
When do we hear the winner of that?
We're going to talk about it after this.
Oh, okay.
And then we will announce them.
All right.
What we did was we had an event, and it was an award show for those that work in retail, and seven people nominated themselves, and one person nominated somebody else. And so we did likes, like whoever got the most likes and stuff, but then we also did People Choice Awards from our sponsors. So we're waiting on one sponsor to write back. Do you know that every single sponsor picked someone different so far?
Oh, really?
So pretty much everyone has won so far.
Oh, good.
Which on this show, you kind of know that was going to happen. So before we started recording, we said, Aaron, what do you do? What do you want to talk about? And you were like, oh, she does everything.
She does it all.
Right.
So tell us, let's keep talking about that.
So yeah, I mean, you know, when I turned 30 about 13 years ago, so aging myself a little bit, but I went with my buddy to a barbecue restaurant. I don't want to name names, but you know, I tried brisket there and I was like, this is pretty good. I enjoyed it. And, it kind of sparked my interest in trying to do it for myself, do it for my family. And, we started with an electric smoker. So if you know, a lot of people start somewhere before they get into the big leagues, you know, it was a cheap $200 one you get at Home Depot. I went ahead and I bought a brisket. I seasoned it with salt and pepper because that's what they said to do online.
Yeah.
And a lot of people still do that. Nothing against that.
Mm-hmm.
But then I cooked it till it hit 200 degrees like I was supposed to. And then I let it rest in a cooler like they say to do. And then we had pot roast. So, you know.
That sounds like how mine would turn out.
Yeah, it would absolutely be mine.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Best pot roast ever, though.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Right, everybody was really nice. My father-in-law had it. My wife, obviously, my cousin, my poor kids. They're probably still chewing today.
So it wasn't like fall apart pot roast.
No,
it was horrible.
Yeah, it was the driest.
The comment was, this has really good flavor.
Yeah.
That was our thing.
Because you were chewing it for 2 hours.
This salt and pepper is amazing.
Right. So, you know, I kept trying and trying and I kept messing up. So then I thought it was obviously the smoker, not me. Right?
Because I'm not me at all.
It's
never the chef.
So, no. So I went ahead and I purchased a Weber bullet. They're called Smoky Mountains, where they have three layers. You put charcoal on the bottom. So now I'm burning with charcoal, which is great. And I feel like I'm putting wood in there and I'm seeing all this white smoke billow out of there. I'm like, oh man, I'm smoking meat for sure now.
I
see the smoke.
Yeah.
Well, that's bad smoke. It's dirty smoke.
Okay. I've heard that term before.
When it's white like that, they call it dirty smoke.
Okay.
And, you know, it gives you a bitter flavor and everything.
Yeah.
It didn't help.
Okay.
So I was still doing that. And I'm like, all right, well, went ahead and graduated to another one and another one and another one. And finally, literally, this isn't a joke, like 10 years of cooking and messing up briskets left and right, finally got it down. When I realized, okay, look, it's not the cooker. It is part the cook, but you have to make sure that you're cooking not to a temperature, but to a feel.
Oh,
you
got
to make sure the brisket feels right. And that's the hardest thing to learn. And Erin can vouch on this because she knows how to do it now. You know, we go by feel, and she can, you know, if I put a brisket on at 5 a.m. at the commissary, she knows when it's done at 8, 9, 10 at night.
Yeah.
She's just as good as I am. So, I mean, much kudos to her. So that's why I say she's much a part to do with this. She's just a cook, just as good as a cook as I am. Mm-hmm. She could even be better, let's be honest, right? Yeah. She makes
well,
the
burnt. Well, she was tired of eating that jerky.
Right, exactly, right? she got motivated.
Extra touch.
Yeah. Yeah, so sure. Have you ever done the finger? So I learned in school, your first finger to your thumb, and you touch kind of the palm of your hand. That's rare, medium well, and then well done is how, mm-hmm. right? Have I shown you that before?
Yeah, and remember, mine doesn't do that. Mine's tough. Look at mine doesn't. I'm
you're
tough all
well,
around.
You're well
like
done.
My soul is tough, and my heart, yeah.
So is
it
that,
doesn't do anything.
Is that what you mean when you feel it?
No, you actually.
After all that, no, actually, that's not anything at all.
Well, we use the thermometer, so it's basically like that buttery. You can put a toothpick right into it, and it's just.
What are you looking for to know that it's going to turn into this beautiful brisket? What does it look like? What are you looking for? Is there veins? Is there fat? Right. Yeah.
Well, first of all, when it comes to brisket, I think it's important, especially for us, right? Mm-hmm. We like to source a really high end brisket. Mm-hmm. I mean, the highest end is probably like a Wagyu cut. We don't go that extreme with it. That's got a lot of marbled fat in it. But we go, you know, kind of maybe a step, maybe even a step two down. We go to a Black Angus prime brisket. Mm. So we're paying a lot more money for that.
Yeah.
But it's got more marbling in it. I think that's what we look for. We want something that's marbled. We want to be pliable. We want, you know, even it's in a Chirovac.
Thing.
So we kind of bend it to, we want to make, if they can, ends can touch, we know that's a really good brisket.
Okay.
It's got, you know, nice.
That's a good
it's not
tip.
Tight.
That is a great tip.
I would have never thought of that.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that's kind of what we use. And, you know, that's my best brisket. And, you know, and brisket is obviously my favorite cut. If you can't tell, by the way, we talk about barbecue.
Yeah.
But our pork belly burnt ends are obviously the
best.
That was
so good.
Salad.
That's what I ate the other night. Yes. And I even brought some home to the neighbor.
Right.
Because we were talking about it because we were talking about going.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Ooh, do they have burnt ends?" And I was like, "I think so. I'm going to get that." So I brought some home to him, and he was like, "Oh my God, this is heaven!" You know.
And there is two types of burnt ends, so let's you know throw that out there. The mm-hmm. ones that I make are pork belly burnt ends, which are pretty much bacon.
Yeah,
right? they're cubed up bacon pieces, and Erin really does a lot of the magic here. Again, I'm going to defer to her, but mm-hmm. She makes sure they're perfect. I mean, she definitely is the first one at the commissary cooking those in the morning when I've been up the previous night cooking the other proteins.
Mm-hmm.
She's on top of that one.
So do you purchase it cut up already, or do you cut it up?
You cut it.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. And then so we season it. You smoke it. It gets to about 165 on the smoker. Pull it off. You add honey and butter. Brown sugar.
Don't tell your doctor the cholesterol.
Right. And this is just for the burnt ends?
For the burnt ends. Yeah. Then you bake them. They get to about, I don't know, 205, 212. Then you add the barbecue sauce, and then you put it back in. And
yeah, those are
they're
so
heaven.
Good.
Yeah.
Wow,
heaven.
Amazing.
But you can't eat a lot of them.
Why are they called burnt ends?
Right? Well, because most of the time when they come out, they almost look burnt, right?
Yeah.
Now when we do a different step where most of the time people will keep them in the smoker until they hit that 210. But what I'm doing is I'm adding all that extra fat, extra flavor in there, baking them a little bit and trying to hit that really faster. Because majority, we let our big meats rest overnight. Mm-hmm. So like a brisket, like a pork shoulder for pulled pork, we'll make that the day before. And like a lot of Texas restaurants, we have a commercial warmer where we'll put them in the warmer. We'll hold them at 170 degrees. A lot of people hold a lot less. I get really nervous when it comes to temperature. So I hold a little higher.
Yes.
Right. So I keep it at 170 degrees for about 12 hours. And then that's when I, you know, then I feel like it's ready because it rests for a long time. The juices redistribute. And so that's what we do for the big cuts. But those small cuts, like the burnt ends, like if we ever do ribs or if we ever do chicken, we're smoking those the morning of, just to make sure that first of all, they're fresh. Those pieces don't take long to cook, you know, like brisket and pork take about anywhere from 12 to 15 to 16, 17 hours sometimes.
Mm. Yeah. That's
and
crazy.
Remember,
yeah, that is,
it's all about that feel, you know, we have to make sure that feels good. And, that's kind of what takes, you know, it takes the longest, but yeah, we, we make sure to do those the day of.
I hope my husband listens to this because he's like a high heat, like get it done in 3 hours kind of person and always eating beef jerky.
Yeah.
Always beef jerky.
I'm
so I hope he listens to this episode.
I'm
and he's
a little
like,
guilty
oh,
of
it's
that too.
Slow and low. Yeah. Okay. Keep it at 170.
Sometimes I don't feel like I have the patience for slow.
Oh
and low,
my gosh. You
know? The truth is I'm a very impatient person. Yeah. Right. But
was it hard when you were first, years then?
Yeah. That could be part of the reason too, right? I'm like, hey, let's get the, what if I bump the temperature up to 325 degrees, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of hot and fast.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, this cooked in 4 hours. This is great.
We're ready to go.
I don't know why they're waiting all day for it.
Right. I learned that a lot. And with barbecue, I do have patience. So it's kind of strange. It's weird. I didn't.
Did we even say where they were from? Did I even
know?
No. Oh.
What is the name of your barbecue?
We'll do that. I mean, it's Midwest Smoke Barbecue. We live in Algonquin, but we have a commissary kitchen in Huntley that we use for all our cooking currently. I mean, you know, that can change in the future. We'll see what we're going to do. But that's where we do all the cooking. And then most of the time you'll find us at, you know, local breweries in McHenry, in Kane County. We really haven't been to DuPage yet. We went to Kendall County once. We're going to be at the McHenry Fest this year.
Ooh.
And
is that where we went last year?
The food truck fest.
Oh no,
we went
to
the food truck fest. Oh,
okay, we gotta go to the food fest.
The food fest.
Yeah. Okay.
Interesting. I gotta see where that is.
Yeah. the fairgrounds.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm, gotcha. Mm-hmm. I wonder if is that where we're gonna be? Is that? I mean, I think I don't know. I don't know exactly where it's
she
gonna
doesn't
be. All
have
I
her
know.
You have a long list of where you're gonna be, right?
Yeah. Right. But it's actually a huge event from what I've been told. Mm-hmm. They're gonna have a derby there. It's gonna be awesome. A demolition derby. Yeah. It'll be great. I'm excited.
So I always like to ask this. So you had the dream, like 10 years, this is what we're doing, and now you have the business.
Right.
What happened through all that? Well, was there a lot of surprises and you're like, oh, we have to get a permit for that. Oh, we have to get this. Oh, can you talk about that
too?
There's
a permit for everything.
Everything.
Right? Every single thing. You need a permit. And it's not just a county thing. It could be some city thing as well on top of, as well as the county.
Mm-hmm. And the state.
Yeah, I mean,
states got to get their fingers in there.
Yeah,
you got
to, their sales tax and everything. Yeah. Right? So you got to do everything. So, it's great. I mean, that part does make it hard. It's things you don't think about when you first start, right? Mm-hmm. And the reason why we're here with Midwest Smoke, is I was in the mortgage industry for the longest time, for 20 years. Don't get me wrong, I love doing mortgage stuff, but. I've been laid off 4 or 5 times. Mm-hmm. So I always wanted to do this. I just didn't think it was going to happen as soon as it did. You know, we started in June of last year, 2023. But we just said, you know what, let's try it. Shout out to my buddy Chuck, who got us kind of started with it. He kind of filed the EIN number with that work. And then he's like, dude, let's just do it. There's not going to be a better time than now.
Yeah.
So.
Is Chuck a lawyer?
Chuck's not. Chuck's
oh, okay, Chuck is our lawyer. Wait a minute. Do we know the same lawyer?
Man. Unless he's not telling
our Chuck
me something.
Our Chuck, the lawyer, did all that for us.
Yeah.
So, Chuck had us kind of, he's like, just go out there, find an event and do it, you know. So our first event ever was Plank Road Tap Room over in Elgin. And we kind of, that was in June of 23. And... they're like, just do it. So we did it. We had a bunch of friends and family come out, and it was the first time I've ever served my food to people who paid for it.
Yeah.
And that was nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, my gosh.
Deep down inside, I'm like, oh, man, are they going to like it? Are they going to hate it? I mean, if they hate it, I'm just going to give them their money back. I don't want to deal with, I want to make people happy, right? I don't want to make people upset, you know? And it gave me more and more confidence, though. I mean, like, because people came up to me and said, those were amazing beans you had there or whatever. And
awesome.
I was like, and they weren't my family, right? These are people I've never met before.
Yeah.
And, what's great about it is the second time you're there, the third time you're there, the same people are showing up, ordering from you again, and they remember you. And I try to remember everybody.
Of course,
I'm horrible with names.
No, yeah. But, so many faces.
Exactly. But, it gave us the confidence, and I'm like, man, we can actually maybe do this, you know? So
when That's you awesome. Did the first event, how do you prepare for it? Like, how do you know, okay, oh God, this is going to feed this many people? How many trays of the, how, what do we do? Did you have too much food at the end? Did you have not enough? Did you, you know, it's good to sell out, of course, right?
Right, right.
But never too early.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. So what, how did that go?
The hardest thing is just gauging, because we're still learning the breweries. We're still learning our audience, right?
Yeah.
So that's like the hardest thing is, you know, you want to make enough. You don't want to sell out. You don't want to disappoint. But you also don't want to bring it all home. Because
right.
Honestly, oh my gosh. We eat this stuff all the time.
Yeah, for sure. For
and
sure.
As much as I love serving the brisket, I don't always love eating it every
day. Right, so, right.
I mean, that's. I think that's our, still, we struggle with it.
Yeah.
You know, how much are we supposed to bring? We did the Lakemore Fest last year. And we just had too much food. Because you don't know. It's a fest. You don't know how many people. Right. But there's so many vendors.
And it depends on where you're at in the line of food. Mm-hmm. You know.
So important.
Yeah. Yes.
Well,
so
see, now
important.
They have our information, though. So when you have too much food, just email and be like, hey, we need a couple more customers.
Yeah.
Right.
We'll be on our way, especially if it's that close.
Right.
So, but I think that's our struggle now, is just making sure we have enough, but we don't have too much.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
And when we have too much, typically, like, I've given away to firefighters. Like, you know, I go to the fire station and I've handed food out there. I've also, you know, our neighbors love us.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I would say we
drop, you know, hey, you know, I'll shoot a text message. Do you want, I got a whole pork shoulder. Do you want to, you know? So, because, I mean, let's be honest. I love barbecue. I still do. Like, I'll try anybody's barbecue because it's, like, one of my favorite things to eat. But when it comes to my own, I'm just, you know, I barely ever eat it because I'm cooking it at least once, twice, three times a week.
Yeah.
Right. But for sure, at least once. And my kids now are like, oh my God, no, Dad, no, no, please, something
else.
No more
beans.
Right. Right. So
that's like Thanksgiving Day for me. By the time I'm done cooking Thanksgiving, I'm like, I'm done. You guys eat. I'm going outside to have a drink.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right.
I'm like that too. While I'm cooking, I'm snacking all day
long.
Comes the dinner and then I'm not
hungry. Taste it all. Right. Yeah.
So can you tell us how the commissary works?
Yeah. So commissary is something that's required by the state, right? Now, again, in Illinois, it's required. Unless you have your own restaurant, then obviously you have a commercial kitchen in a restaurant, right? So we don't have a restaurant. So we like I said, we go pop-ups and we go to local breweries and whatnot or fest. So at the commissary is where we store our meats. It's where we get food delivered. Now, we still make Costco runs, Sam's Club runs, and we'll bring that food there.
Of course.
Every business does that.
Yeah, but all food is prepped there. We clean our dishes there. We cook there. We hold our food there. The only thing that doesn't happen there is we don't serve there, right?
Okay.
So we just, we load up. We have Cambros, and Cambro is something that holds the food, keeps it warm. But ours, what's unique about the ones that we have, there's many different kinds, but the ones we have actually plug in. So what we do is we'll plug it in. We'll make sure it gets up to, like I said, I'm a freak about the temperature. I'm telling you guys.
No, that's great. That's good
to
know.
So, I make sure it's plugged in. It gets up to 160-ish degrees. I'll hold the food as long as I can in the warmer. When it's time to leave, we'll load it in there. We leave the commissary, and here we are. You know, we go to the next spot, wherever we were serving that day. So, it's a great thing. There's a monthly fee for our commissary. You have to be insured overall. I mean, you know, we're dealing with food. We're dealing with selling food, people eating food. So, there's insurance involved, but again, that insurance is just something separately. It's not really with the commissary. The commissary is just, like I said, where food's stored, prepared, cooked, and then, you know.
So how many other people go to this commissary, and do you have to rent it out and put
do
it
you
on
have a schedule?
Schedule. Thank
calendar.
You.
Calendar.
You know, we're pretty good about it. I mean, I want to say there's four at the commissary I'm at. But I've seen commissaries that have multiple people where people are using it at night only. Sometimes people are using it during the day.
Yeah.
Like if someone's doing baked goods or something, you know, a lot of times they'll be there baking and making their cupcakes
overnight.
And whatnot.
Yeah.
And then just kind of preparing them. Sometimes I wish it was that easy for us because we're always there.
Bake for a couple hours and be done.
Right.
So you can't let it cook. Someone always has to be at the commissary while something's on, right?
Yeah, well, the temperatures have to be monitored for the meats.
On the hour or whatever.
Right,
because
we add wood. We add wood, you know, every piece. So it's not like, you know, at home I have a pellet smoker that lets me, when I'm cooking for the family, I can put a pellet smoker on and go to bed.
Sure.
Not that I haven't run out of pellets before. So embarrassing. So embarrassing. But, you know, when it comes to cooking food for people, my favorite is obviously the real wood flavor, right? Yeah. Not that pellets don't do that, but it's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to constantly, someone has to be there adding the wood to the smoker constantly to make sure, you know, we got to make sure the temperatures are at about 225 or above. And then make sure we're monitoring the meat temperatures, right? So about every, you know, couple hours, we have an InstaReat thermometer that will check the meats. But while the meats are cooking, we have a probe that actually stays in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And monitors the temperature the entire time, and it's sent to our phones as well and everything. So we don't have to necessarily be outside.
Right.
But, you know, and we actually have something that's on the grill grate that lets us know the temperature is at whatever temperature there too. So just in case, you know, the worst days when it comes to smoking are windy days. And like today and yesterday would be horrible for smoking because the wind will make the fire either flare up really fast or it might put it down. Most of the time it makes it go a lot hotter than you want. So you're not adding as much wood, but then your wood goes, you know, it'll go out a lot faster. So it all depends on the weather and how cold it is, how warm it is, you know, how much wood you want to put in.
You're very specific about your temperature. Go ahead.
I was going to say that sounds like 10 years of smoking to know.
Oh, yeah,
all
absolutely.
Those little details.
Right. And I've watched a lot of your videos. I mean, honestly, like YouTube's your friend.
Yeah,
it really is.
It is. And then I've got some mentors that, you know, have helped me out, that I've reached out to on YouTube, even other states and people who are doing the same thing we do.
Mm-hmm.
I still reach out to today. I'm never ever done learning. It's something that's
none
an ongoing process. Right.
So how big is your smoker at the commissary?
We have a 500 gallon smoker.
Oh, wow.
So, it's made out of an old propane tank.
Okay.
So it's awesome. I mean, that's kind of, I don't know. I've always wanted something. I've wanted a 1,000 gallon one, but that's overkill right now.
Yeah.
Right? It'd be double the size we have. Now, if we end up growing and hitting the goals we hope to hit, I could see me having one of those, maybe a couple of them down the road. Who knows, right?
So in June, when they hit 1 year.
In June.
Hopefully.
Can you fit like a whole pig in your smoker?
I think you can. I haven't tried.
No.
But I can imagine you doing it. I'd have to maybe take one of the racks out. But, I've actually had a request to do an entire pig.
Yeah.
I've never tried it, so I'll never let that be my first, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, if someone wants
like, it's
pig,
your 50th birthday. Yeah, let me try this
out
for you.
I'm going to have to mess up a few before I make it available.
Well,
to
let
anybody.
Me know when you're practicing.
There we go. Right.
Again,
right.
I have our information.
right.
So I have two questions. So you're specific about the temperatures and the meat selection and such. Are you specific about the wood that you choose? And then the other one is how many pieces fit, or how do you do that? Is it just one big piece like you said?
How do you decide?
Or is it, how do you decide how many pieces are going to go and smoke for a day?
Right. Well, my favorite is cherry wood, right?
Okay.
Because I think it's somewhere in the middle where it's not too strong of a smoke. And it's not like it's too light of a smoke. It's somewhere in the middle, right? So if I wanted some really strong smoke, mesquite wood is really strong. If I wanted something really light, I can go apple, right? But I kind of choose in the middle, right? I go right there with the cherry. I think it's a good mix for all the meat, right? Instead of, you know, I'm going to do chicken, I decide to use cherry because that way it makes it easier on me. I'm not buying, you know, different kinds of woods and holding them, you know, that's not fun.
Yeah.
So we use cherry, and typically when we start up the smoker, depending again on the weather and how cold it is outside lately, you know, we usually put like about 8 pieces in, and they're about, you know, if you think of a big log, maybe, you know, 12 inches, you know, round in diameter, you cut that into fourths. I mean, that's kind of how they come roughly.
Okay.
And we, you know, when I say one piece, it's roughly 1/4 of that. So, you know, we use 6 to 8 really to start. We'll let that burn. We use a torch. It's a lot of fun. We connect it to a propane tank, and you know, it's fun.
absolutely.
And then, you know, we start that up, and then once we have a good fire going, we let that die down a little bit to turn into charcoal, kind of like, you know, and then we start adding wood to that. We will throw in wood to roughly get to about, like I said, 225 degrees is where we like to start. And We'll like to hold it there roughly depending on, you know, what we're cooking, what, you know, what the weather's looking like. Like I said, if it's really windy, we might throw, you know, a little less, a little more, you know, it depends. Like on a rainy day like today too, we'd probably be, it's windy and rainy. We'd probably have a hard time with temperatures today.
I would just call off.
Yeah. Sometimes I wish
on a day like this. Yeah. You can't, but I'd just be like, I don't feel like cooking today.
Not doing it today.
Right. And then pieces. Like how many and
So to do a whole cook, I'd say we'd go through 80 to 100 pieces. Maybe.
Of wood.
Yeah.
Are you asking how many pieces of meat?
That too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know you were talking. Okay.
Well,
And when it comes to meat, we have to determine on what we're doing, right? Let's say we're at a brewery. We know we're going to be there for 8 hours. I'm probably going to cook 3 briskets. We chop those up. We don't slice them. So there's a way you can have a brisket. You know, my preference to eat is sliced. But, you know, as a business, it makes sense to chop it up because that way we could stretch it a little longer. Sure. We actually give a good portion. We give 5 ounces with every brisket, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, that way it extends it. But, we usually make 3 briskets. We'll make 2 porks, roughly 2 pulled porks or pork shoulders. That's the pulled pork. And we'll make, you know, anywhere from 2 to 3 orders of burnt ends. Mm. We'll make a couple trays of mac and cheese. And I mean that's what we typically do right now. Now in the summertime, we're gonna have jalapeno cheddar sausage that we definitely make those fresh.
Yeah,
we make the baked
beans. Like you make your own sausage.
Yep. Yeah. We actually grind brisket and pork shoulder up.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Holy
and
I'm ready for that.
What?
Yeah.
We had jalapeno pieces. We had the high temp cheddar cheese. We case it up. We smoke it. It's fun. That's really labor intensive.
Yeah.
But you know, it's one of my favorite things to eat too. Right. Mm-hmm. We also make nachos. We make our homemade queso. So
you put brisket in your queso?
Not in the queso. No, but that's a topping you can have on your nachos.
Yeah.
Right. So you can have that. You can have pulled pork on your nachos, whichever, or a little bit of both. You know,
I had my sister-in-law recently made queso and she cooked chorizo and put it in it. Mm-hmm. And I never had that. And that was delicious. And
absolutely.
I just thought brisket in queso.
We do the Nashville hot chicken sometimes in our queso.
Oh, yeah. That sounds good, too.
Yeah.
Mm.
A lot of people order
that. You know what? We had a barbecue place open here in McHenry a while ago.
Yeah.
It closed. It was not good.
It's hard.
It's, it is, you know, and I think one of their issues was not knowing how much to cook, right?
That's
a lot of the time the meat tasted like the refrigerator. Like you could tell this wasn't made last night. It wasn't made the night before. It was probably made 2 or 3 nights ago, you know?
Right.
Also their sauces tasted like refrigerator.
Yeah.
And it was, like you got to make those. I understand you're not going to make it fresh every day, but probably once a week. I would say you need to make fresh sauce, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that place did not last. So I'm hoping that you guys
keep it fresh.
Find a brick and mortar.
You're going to find a nice little storefront that's perfect.
That has
a great smoker already in the back or something, maybe. I don't know.
And
maybe
we don't want to cook. We just stop on in.
It's big dreams.
Sure, we can always move our smoker. It's okay. It's... You know, having fresh food is really important, right? We don't, we never serve yesterday's food
leftovers.
The next day.
Yeah,
that's my
rule.
There's
no shrink busters for you.
No, that's my rule. I can't do that, right? Everything has to be fresh, made the day. You know, like it's made the day before or the day of.
Yeah.
But day before, I mean, like I said, it was really cooked for today when I make it yesterday. You know. So that's important. I think that sets us apart a little bit because I feel the same way. I feel like I've eaten barbecue where I was eating a couple days ago barbecue and you can kind of tell there, right?
You can.
I want nothing but the best. Yeah. I don't care if it costs me a little more money to do that.
Right.
You can't substitute for quality. And I think my customers or our customers, I shouldn't say mine, our customers know that.
Right.
And that's why we have people coming back.
I'm definitely willing to pay a good penny for fresh food.
That's important. I mean, that's what I want to eat when I go out eating, right? I mean, everybody wants fresh.
I just really want a barbecue place close to home, so.
there.
I've been saying it for probably 15 years. Like, why is there no good barbecue around here? I get it. We're not in the South. Like, in the South, you can find good barbecue everywhere you go. But why has that not come up here?
I don't understand. Yeah, that's true. Because in the Midwest, we're known more for our grilling, our brats, our burgers, our hot dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what we do.
We
use the grill for that. And a lot of people will say I'm barbecuing when they're really grilling.
Yeah.
It's one of my pet peeves.
I say grilling. I'm going to grill tonight.
You're supposed to say grilling because that's what you're doing. You're grilling.
I feel
you're
like if you say
if you're barbecuing,
you're from Australia.
There you go. Yeah.
I don't know. It just sounds weird to me.
On the Bobby.
On the Bobby. Both of us have terrible accents.
Jeez. Yeah, I know. What are we going to do?
How did you find the right sauce? And how many sauces do you have? Do you just have one?
No. He says no.
I haven't found the right sauce.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So I use a commercial sauce right now.
Okay.
Don't tell us. No, it's all right. No.
Yeah.
But I made a sauce, and although I personally didn't mind it, it was too spicy, right? So someone like my wife who doesn't love spice. And that's not for everybody, right? I can't make my first sauce I make spicy. Like, who's going to want that?
I mean,
hey,
you can.
Want some sauce? Yeah, but, you know.
There's a lot of spice lovers out
people
there.
People aren't coming back. Some people aren't. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah.
Right. I mean, if you're going to
put it on the side.
Right.
Yeah.
For example, no, for sure. And I always, that's another thing. I don't like to sauce everything automatically. I'll give you the option. Do you want me to put sauce on that or not?
Yeah.
I feel like when you're saucing something right away, you're trying to hide something.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I give that option to the customer.
So. Okay.
I like spicy sauce.
So have you been trying to invent your own sauce?
I have. No,
yeah.
I have.
It's tough,
It's
huh?
still not there yet. No, I mean, you know, I obviously even scour the internet to try to find something because there's so many people that do things. But I also want to always, I'm weird about this, I want to add my own touch to whatever I see. Because if it's not
that
mine,
one ingredient that no one has that makes you different, right?
Yes, and that's what I want to do. I don't want to say I copied this guy's recipe. And
No,
I want to put something else in there. So it's not, you know, it hasn't been perfect yet, and we'll get there. We'll get there because that's important. I feel like every barbecue place has to have their own signature sauce. We're working on it.
Yeah.
We're working on it.
I feel like you can have a base and then you can have your side sauces, your specialty sauce,
right?
Your white, your vinegar based, all that, you know.
You have to have those. I mean, I think those are, you know, a spicy, a sweet, like you said, kind of like an Alabama white sauce, and a vinegar sauce is really important as well. And then you might have one, you know, strange one out there, an espresso, a mango kind of weird, you know, something like that, right?
Or something. Yeah. I think you should do apricot.
There you go. There you go. Why not?
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Especially on pork.
Yeah.
Those sweet profiles go really well with pork.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So. I love apricot.
Yeah.
When we saw you at Kishwaukee, you mentioned getting a food truck. Is that something that you're going to do?
Or
is it more the brick and mortar? Is that what you're thinking about?
Yeah. Just, you know,
we argue about it all the time.
Right.
That's and that's why Aaron's here. Right.
So, you know, there's drawbacks to each one, right?
Yeah.
You know, with a brick and mortar, first of all, you have a lot more capital required, and it's also a lot more high risk, right? Well, when it comes to a trailer, also you're not, you know, you don't have to be in one certain location forever, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Who knows what happened to McHenry? McHenry could have been a bad area for that certain barbecue company, right? And it just didn't have the foot traffic. So, the nice thing about a trailer is we can take it out and, you know, move to a different spot every day. And as long as you have a good following on social media, I think people will find you.
Right.
Not that everyone wants to travel like, you know, 20 miles to find you, but, you know, if they know you're going to be in the area, I can see them coming, you know, driving a 5 miles or whatever it might be, you know, just to get a little bit, you know, extra dinner or whatever. You know, Lily Lakemore has a great food truck program.
Yeah, they do.
Where they, you know, they have someone out there once, twice a day.
Yes.
Right?
It's so cool. And they have the lighted sign that tells you who's coming up and stuff.
Right.
Yes.
They do a great job.
Yeah.
Though,
it's right there by the Dunkin' Donuts off of 120 for anyone that's wondering.
I just saw, I think it was Noodles and Sticks was there today.
Yeah. Yep. They were.
It's fun stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they've always got someone new there. And I think that's something, like I said, having a food trailer truck will, well, you know, we can do all that a lot easier than we do now. Because right now, we break down, you know, about 4 tables. We move a warmer. We move all these things we bring to every single event. It'd be so much nicer just to have them sitting in a trailer ready to go.
Yeah.
And not having to pick up and go back in and out, in and out.
Yeah, that's a lot of work. That's a long day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it is.
And then the day before is cooking. Yeah, right? Or the day of, right?
And then, you know, Aaron's cleaning at the end of all this.
Of course, yeah. So. Yeah.
Poor Aaron.
Poor Aaron.
Right. She's the best.
So how did you come up with the name?
Chuck did it, right? Chuck, we're
the lawyer.
Yeah, Chuck the lawyer. He was sitting there, you know, we were bouncing things off each other. I think I had something like Smoky D's and I don't know how they came up with the Midwest smoke, but I was like, I like that.
Yeah.
That's different, right? And he said, all right, let's run with it. And I asked Aaron, and Chuck's wife even kind of chimed in, like, this is a good one. We like this.
Yeah,
we like this.
So, good.
And he actually wrote on the website, we have a, like an about, you know, and says something about DJ and all that. He actually wrote all that out, right? Which is fine, because I don't want to write something about myself. Or
it's like, weird, right?
Yeah. Right, yeah, exactly. So I'm like,
You don't want to be too pompous.
Right.
So that's funny that you say that, because on Facebook I was reading, we've convinced the legendary backyard pit master DJ to bring his unique smoky barbecue.
Oh. Right.
From his table to yours. And I'm like, he didn't write that.
No. I couldn't.
I thought that was neat.
Yeah.
So if you guys do end up getting a food truck, would you still use the commissary and then sell from the food truck like Sandy Dogs do?
You have to have a commissary. Yeah.
You have to in Illinois.
It's required. So unless you have a brick and mortar, you're required to have.
You can't do any of the cooking on
the food truck.
Wow, that's so wild, because I see so many videos of other food trucks around the country.
Right.
They just cook it right there.
Yeah.
Now, there might be different rules. I'm not 100% versed in that. Like maybe.
Yeah.
I know some people make, you know, burgers and they fry their chicken fingers on there and all that. You know, that's probably different because they might be frozen beforehand. But I know when it comes to, you know, doing the barbecue, there's no chance. I get it. Well, actually, I should take that back. I know there's NSF smokers. NSF is, I don't know what NSF stands for, but those are, you have to have NSF equipment when you're cooking, using materials like the Cambro I used, NSF certified, steamers, NSF certified. Everything has to be NSF certified.
Okay.
And if you have that smoker on your food truck, I believe you can use it.
I was going to say, because I feel like I've seen a food truck hauling a smoker.
Sure.
But is that just for show?
It could be for show,
You know,
yeah.
They just throw some wood on there and get the aroma
right,
out
I almost
there.
Wanted to do that, right? That's like when I was like, hey, why don't we just bring the smoker out and just kind of, you know.
Fire it up.
Right. Why not? I mean, even if there's no food in there, you know.
It says National Sanitation Foundation.
Sure.
Okay.
All right.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll go with it.
Maybe.
Right. It fits.
Right.
It
right,
fits
right.
the narrative.
So
I feel like F would be food, though. So I don't know.
I was like, National Food Safety.
Oh, I'm absolutely going through all of it. Like, what does that acronym mean?
Right.
We love our acronyms.
It also says NSF certified for sport. So I don't know.
Interesting.
Just give us the full name, you know?
Right.
That's all right.
I actually had somebody call today, and she was like, could you give me some acronyms that you use? You know, BOH, POG, SOP. I'm like, yes.
I know all of those.
Yeah, I know. She kind of did too, but she was like, just in case.
Just making sure.
Yeah.
I'm lost.
So now, yeah. That's exactly what.
So once you work there a couple of years, you're like, that's what that means, you know.
Interesting.
At first, you're too embarrassed to ask. You're like,
I'll figure it out. Right, yeah, right. Just it's got to be in the sentence, the content. Sorry.
That's like me. I work in a medical office, and sometimes I'm like, what's that stand for?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Lots for medical stuff. Yeah.
I can't even imagine.
No.
I'd be throwing swear words in there. They'd be like, nope, that's not it.
Yeah.
So before we started recording, you were talking about being woman-owned. Right. Hi, Aaron.
Hi.
So how did that come to be?
Well, it's joint owned. Chuck is the second owner of the company.
Okay.
He's very hands off. Not in a bad way.
He wants us to succeed on our own.
Yes, yeah. Very good.
He
very
wanted
good.
He wanted to help us start it. He gave
Amazing.
Us that umph, right? That
yes.
push. You know.
Yes.
I grew up with Chuck, right? I mean, we've been friends for over 30 years.
Yeah.
So, he's just like, you guys got to do this.
Yeah.
You know,
he
believed in us before we believed in ourselves. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was like, yeah, I mean, you know, and Aaron's, she's the brain. She really is. Right. Yeah. She's the brain.
Most women are.
Right.
Sorry, Dan.
No, hey, no, you know, I give it up to you guys. You guys are amazing.
He's like,
it.
I just put the meat on the fire.
Right, right. I do good. No,
I think that's it. We're just it's a team effort. I mean, he does most of the cooking. He's taught me a lot with that.
Yeah.
And I mean, I run an office for the medical field, so I kind of have my niche in the financials and all of that
stuff. For sure.
So I think we just make a great team, and
yeah. That's what you need. Yeah.
She
We've been together since I was 16, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know each other pretty good, is what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So all good things.
Absolutely.
Have you had any mishaps where you're just like, oh no, like smack the forehead and.
Not yet. The only thing that I feel
like. Should I knock on wood? Should I knock on wood? We're not going to right now.
The biggest thing is kind of what you guys touched on earlier, right? Is when it comes to figuring out how to cook and what to cook and how long, or not how long, but you know, what do we do, right? So I went to Kishwaukee. Just because we, you know, that's where we, you know, where we met each other. But they had a craft show one Saturday morning. And they said, hey, can you come in a little earlier? You'd be the only food there. So I said, yeah, sure. That's fine. No problem.
Yep.
And we're supposed to be there until like 7 or 8 p.m. At 1 o'clock, we sold out.
Oh, no. My God.
I was not ready for that volume.
Yeah. Volume. Yeah, right. There was a lot of people there. We were there. Yeah.
So, you know, what's great is, you know, the volume is, you know, you want to sell out.
Yeah.
Not 2 hours in.
Right.
Right.
Not
right.
2 hours in. Right. So that's the biggest thing. And on top of that, we had people coming in like, you already sold out. You know, and they might be a little upset because, you know, we're supposed to be there till 7. So a goal is to be there. The advertised time.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
But unfortunately, when it comes to barbecue, I can't just go and cook a brisket.
Make some more,
Yeah, it's just unfortunate. I mean, I might be able to make some burnt ends, but it's going to take, you know, at least 4 or 5 hours, right?
Yeah.
So it's just, it's unfortunate. I feel bad. And, I mean, it kind of sucks for the company too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because we could have done a lot better that day.
Ah.
And possibly met someone else that night, right? That would have been maybe someone who wanted to do a catering order down the road.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or, you know, something, right? I mean, maybe an investor. Who knows, right?
Absolutely.
Right? And, you know, we don't want to miss out on any sort of opportunities that are there. And unfortunately, that's the biggest thing. And, you know, to touch on, like, when we were at the fest last year, you know, I think we kind of overshot, right? We did. I think we cooked. I know I had 5 cases of brisket. There's 4 briskets to a case. So 20, you know, briskets that for I think it was a 2-day event for that Lily Lake Moore. And I think the first day they said it was slower. So I did like 6 briskets. And then I did like 14 the next day. We went home with, I mean, I couldn't, you know, at least 10 briskets, at least 10 porks. I mean, it was just, we overshot. We also learned a lot. It was our fault too, because we had no lighting personally, like for ourselves, right? And our menu was so small, and it was black. So when it turned dark outside, you couldn't see our menu.
Right.
We looked closed. So it was definitely something we learned. It was our first fest. We got our butts kicked.
Yeah.
But I can't wait to do a fest again.
Yeah.
Because we learned
now
so
you know.
Much.
It's incredible to learn. So, like, learned so much just with this, too, with both podcasts and everything. It's like, oh, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, and you saying that, like, not having lights, having a dark menu, like, someone's going to listen to this and be like, now I know to never do that. You
right.
know?
Yeah.
Right.
No, it's
for sure.
You really took one for the team on that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's food or if you're just vending, if you're selling some items, right? That applies to everybody.
Yeah.
We just, you know, we didn't know. So it was just our ignorance for sure. But we got it.
Yeah. What is your, what's just the favorite? What's your favorite? Besides spending time together, hanging out for 10 hours a day. What's
just the compliments, the
knowing
that people like your food and you're doing a good job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's, I think that's the pleasure of doing it. Like,
It really means a lot when someone says that.
And it not being your sister or your dad.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I was so nervous. But when I first got that first compliment, I'm like, okay, maybe.
Yeah.
Did someone pay them?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, what happened? No.
Whose friend are you?
Yeah. Right. But, you know, that it kept happening. It never gets old. And I'm just waiting for that person to come and say, you know what? This was trash. You know what I mean? It's going to happen, right? it's going to happen.
You think so?
I would hope not.
I mean, so you can't please every single person.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
I'd
but
love
it's
to.
Always a growing experience when that happens. Right.
I don't think anybody will say that was trash. I think they just like, nah, it's not.
You
my
haven't
thing.
Met my sister. No. No, but I mean, yeah, I expect something to be negative. It will be, and you know, we'll deal with that when it happens. Not in a bad way. I mean, you know,
yeah.
I do still want to please everybody as much as I can.
Yeah.
I know you can't please everybody, but you know, we'll cross
over.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
do your
amazing.
Best.
Yeah. Right. Wow.
Right.
Well, we were impressed.
I was.
Yeah. We
thank
all
you.
Were.
It really means a lot. I'm yeah. seriously like.
My husband talked about it all the way home.
Okay.
He was like, wow, that was really good. I'm so glad we went. Wow, that was really good. I'm so full. Wow, that was so good.
That's awesome.
Your husband's friend.
Yes.
Okay, he ordered like a sandwich with chips, whatever. And then he came back for like the three meat plate. Like,
yeah.
I think I remember that.
Yes.
He ate so much.
He
and
sat
then,
back down with that second plate. We were all like, wait, what?
Whoa.
He was like, it's so good.
It's so good. And then he was done and they were both just like.
Right, right.
Like so full.
You're in that meat coma. We got the meat sweats, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, my husband thoroughly enjoyed it too. He had the mac and cheese with the burnt ends.
Yes.
And then I just had the plain burnt ends. I just ate those and right. I saved a couple for my neighbor.
Yeah.
Which was nice. Hard to do. I mean, I could have gotten another order to go, but I'm like, I'll save these for him.
That was nice.
Yeah.
That was nice.
What do you have coming up this year? Where can people find you and all that fun stuff?
Well, on Facebook, we're Midwest Smoke Barbecue LLC.
Mm-hmm.
We are on on Instagram under the same name. I have a TikTok, but we really haven't done much with it.
It's going away anyways, yeah, so yeah, you're fine.
Exactly, right? Shoot. That's what I hear. I hear that.
I'm going to have to find a hobby
yeah,
when
I know,
TikTok
my
goes
gosh.
Away.
Right? What are we going to do?
Probably lose weight.
Take up walking again? It's so overrated.
Get up and do something.
Yeah. MidwestSmokeBBQ.com is the website.
Yeah.
And so, like, if somebody wants to come to you to cater, they could go to your website and
yeah,
and
or
do
you
that.
Can email us. It's either Aaron@MidwestSmokeBBQ.com or Danny@MidwestSmokeBBQ.com.
Nice.
And then you have another one on Facebook that's sales. Could they do that one too?
Yeah, sales
okay,
is
but
more
if
like
they want to actually
inbox.
Talk to you. Yeah, okay, perfect, perfect.
Yeah, and so that'll go to everybody and you know, someone will reach out to them. You know, that's how we get a lot of our catering people inquire there. That's what nice. We have on our business cards is a sales email.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, good.
They have 10 reviews and they're all 5 stars already.
Oh,
yeah.
See?
Just for starting woo-hoo. In June. Amazing.
Not even a
we gotta
3-star.
Add ours
yeah.
too. Yeah, you're going to have 11
please.
Here soon.
Yeah.
Love it.
It's the only time I go on Facebook.
Yeah. That's all the questions I have.
Okay. Yeah. I don't have any.
Good.
I don't have any more.
Yeah. Thank you
good.
So much.
I
for
just
having
know.
Us on.
Look out for them, guys, because I have a feeling you guys are going to be everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. We'll share our page and everything too. We'll share it also.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks
for
guys.
Having us.
Yeah.
Thanks.
All right. Take care.